I'd like to say a little bit to you here, too, about, because I had a dream last night I want to share with you about this Gulf oil thing. I want to share an excerpt from an article called Gulf Oil Traces Spread East on the Seafloor, Researchers Say. This is from Ed Lavandera and Rich Phillips and CNN on the 17th. South Florida researchers find oil traces in undersea Gulf Canyon. Plankton showed strong toxic response to the crude. Well, that's the bottom of the chain there. You can't wipe it out because your whole food chain will get diseased, right? But it's being poisoned. Researchers say the oil could resurface later. Aha, that's interesting. Never heard that before. This is from St. Petersburg, Florida, CNN. Oil from the Deepwater Horizon spill may have settled to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico further east than previously suspected and at levels toxic to marine life, researchers reported Monday. Isn't it interesting? We're getting one line from the government and BP and another line from the independent researchers and scientists that are out there. Four university science groups has totally come against what NOAA, the government, and BP have said concerning the oodles of oil that are still down there. Okay. Going on, it said initial findings from a new survey of the Gulf conclude that dispersants may have sent the oil to the ocean floor, where it has turned up at the bottom of an undersea canyon within 40 miles of the Florida Panhandle. Plankton and other organisms showed a strong toxic response to the crude, according to researchers from the University of South Florida. The dispersant is moving the oil down out of the surface and into the deeper waters where it can affect phytoplankton and other marine life, said John Paul, a marine microbiologist at USF. Results of the latest survey are scheduled to be released Tuesday, but CNN obtained a summary of the initial conclusions Monday night. Tests conducted offshore indicate the oil matches the 205 million gallon Deepwater Horizon spill, which has been temporarily kept for a month, the summary states. Now, it's interesting to state that NOAA, they also found some oil. They acted like it was almost nothing, but they could not really identify where it came from. The scientists are all identifying it as coming from the same well, the Deepwater Horizon. They're just trying to, you know, hide the truth from us here. Some of it has spread into the DeSoto Canyon, a channel on the ocean floor east of the ruptured well. That canyon comprises part of the spawning grounds for much of the Gulf's commercial fish. To date, this is the easternmost location for the occurrence of subsurface oils, the report states. The oil is not draping across the bottom, but is spread out in small, unevenly distributed droplets, the report states. USF chemical oceanographer David Hollander said that when an ultraviolet light used to detect oil was turned onto the seafloor, all of a sudden it turns out to be a constellation of little dots, little bright dots, right? And the oil could well up onto the continental shelf and resurface later, Paul said. Or it could be eaten by fish and other animals and accumulate in the food chain, Hollander said. Either way, that's a disaster. Right? It's in such small droplets that you can see it, you can filter it and see it, he said, but if you look at it, it's transparent, and small larval fish see these droplets as food, so they're ingesting fewer oil. So that's interesting. They're finding it quite a ways from the well, very close to the leg of Florida, and they say it may resurface later. Well, it does resurface when you have storms, because storms stir, from what I understand, the top 300 or 400 feet of the ocean. And here's another small excerpt I'll read to you. Scientists say as much as 79% of the oil remains in the Gulf of Mexico. That's just the opposite of what the government and BP has told us. Okay? A group of scientists says as much as 79% of BP's leaked oil remains in the Gulf of Mexico, challenging an Obama administration assessment that the crude is largely gone or rapidly disappearing. Most of the oil that leaked from BP's Macondo well from April 20th to July the 15th is still beneath the water surface, scientists, including Samantha Joy, professor of marine sciences at the University of Georgia in Athens, concluded in a memo made public yesterday. The researchers say they drew upon the U.S. government's study while reaching different conclusions. The Obama administration's August 4th report indicated that almost three-fourths of the crude that leaked has disappeared or soon will be eaten by bacteria. Jane Lubchenco, administrator of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has said at least half of the oil released is now completely gone. Chemist Dana Wiesel said that conclusion felt like the closing credits of the movie. It's like they were saying the end. Wetzel, a program manager at Moat Marine Laboratory in Sarasota, Florida, said in an interview last week, "I'd say we have just gotten through setting up the plot." So she's saying, hey, that's not the end of the movie, folks. The plot's just getting started. The scientists who said that as much as 79% of the oil is still in the Gulf of Mexico said their estimates do not include oil known to have washed into coastal wetlands because such crude is too difficult to measure. According to the memo dated August 11th and written by one of the researchers, Chuck Hopkinson, a University of Georgia marine scientist, spokesman at the White House and NOAA didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Okay, so it's very obvious to anybody that's paying attention that there's a major cover-up going on here and that this thing is going through the food chain and that it may resurface later and bring more stink to the Gulf Coast and more of it brought inland through hurricanes and storms and so on and so forth. Well, I had a dream last night, or I should say I believe it was early this morning, and don't understand it completely, but I'll share it with you. I do understand, I think, parts of it. In the dream, I found some strawberries. They were large, they were beautiful, and when I tasted them, they tasted wonderful. However, I began to examine them very closely, and I looked at them. It was like I could see into them. And on the inside, I saw a dead fish with nasty-looking mud and trash around it. And I thought, I wonder if that is a representative of a fish on the ocean floor where the oil is. And I think that that's what it represented, Why would a fish be inside these strawberries? Why would this dead fish, which is probably killed by the poisons that it had consumed or tried to live through because there was no oxygen in the water or whatever, why would this? Because what has killed those fish and what is starting in the food chain is also, I believe, in the air and being picked up by by storms and being spread throughout this country and on people's crops. And the same stuff that's in that fish is getting into the food chain. Not just the food chain on the ocean floor, but the food chain out there for humans to consume. And I don't say this to worry you. I say it to prepare you, because you need to be prepared. You need to fight a good battle, the battle of faith here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read it to you. But the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith. And I want to tell you, people have fallen away from the faith concerning this situation we're talking about, and that is blessing your food. Some people just think God hears you because of mouthing words, but really, you need to be exercising faith. You need to know that you have a right to believe for this, because Jesus bore your curse, and you're not under the curse because you're walking in holiness and you're walking in faith. And when you bless your food, you're actually believing that your words are blessing that food, right? So some have fallen away from the faith. And he mentions a few things here, one of them being your food, right? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through their hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. That believe and know the truth. Remember what Jesus said. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. This he said, making all meats clean. Now we know that naturally speaking, all meats aren't clean. Naturally speaking, there are meats that are not as good for you as other meats. And the food laws of the Old Testament reflected that, but they were reflecting that for natural men, not for spiritual men. And Jesus pointed out to them that these things were parables, not to be taken in the letter. The unclean meats, the unclean animals, these were parables. They represented unclean types of unclean people. And Jesus said, except you ate his body and drank his blood, you had no life in you. So that must tell you you don't need to be partaking of anybody else's life, right? Only that of Jesus. And that's what these unclean beasts represented, partaking of men that are not Jesus, that do not reflect his values, do not reflect his holiness or his truth, okay? So, he's pointing out the same here, that these men are blind, they know nothing, they've got no business preaching these things, bringing people under the law of abstaining from meats, because we that know the truth can receive them with thanksgiving. Verse 3, I'm going to read it again. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused or rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of God and prayer. You're like me. You can look at meat or strawberries, and you can't tell, you know, what may be in that that's not good for you. And it's obvious that the government don't care, because they want you going out there and eat that meat that's coming out of the fish that are coming out of the Gulf. They don't care. They want the economy to keep going, and they don't care if it kills you to do it. Okay? So, but what, and we've got no way to test this food and find out what's good or what's bad about it. And it's been that way throughout history. But God made us a promise here. He said it's sanctified through the word of God and prayer. You know, when God, through Moses, led the people of Israel out to that place called Marah, which meant bitter. And it was a bitter waters. They were poisonous. God didn't say, well, we better pass this up. Let's go find another hole. No, Moses blessed that water. He threw that tree in there, and it blessed the water, and the people were able to drink it. Folks, I'm telling you, the water all across this land is going to be poisoned. If not this, it'll be something else. But this is the facts, and we've had these prophecies for many years. All this water is going to be poisoned. What are you going to do? Okay. Either you're going to believe in a supernatural God, put your faith in him, and do what Moses did and bless the water, bless the food, or I'm not saying purposely tempt the Lord. If somebody says this food's poisoned, I'm not saying, you know, to purposely test him. But quite often we get food and we don't know whether it's good or bad. In fact, everything on this earth is under the curse. And so you got to learn to, many times people get sick from what they eat because they didn't know what was in it and wouldn't have known. So what do? Well, that's the reason we bless our food. And when we bless it, we are blessing it. We are blessing it in Jesus' name. We're commanding that food to be healthy in the name of Jesus. And so this is, I believe, part of the warning in this dream that I had. But anyway, these strawberries looked good. They tasted good. They were beautiful. But there was poison in them. And also in this dream, we were in a war. We were in a war with an enemy that had plastic large tanks with metal straps around them. Which we were seeking to destroy. And I believe, you know, when I worked at Exxon, we had kind of plants, plastic tanks that were that way, large plastic tanks. They were generally used to hold chemicals, not hydrocarbons and stuff like that, but chemicals, you know. And they did have metal straps around them. So the enemy was using these plastic tanks for something, probably having something to do with chemicals, maybe this speaks of the stuff they're spraying out there and injecting deep in the deep ocean, injecting and spraying. So, I mean, I think they stopped the spraying, hopefully, but I believe they're still injecting it. But at any rate, it's still out there. Whether they stopped or not, it's still out there and it's still doing its work. So we were against this, and just like we're kind of against pharmakia, you know, salvation through chemicals, right? And the world don't know any better. That's the only thing they know to do. We'll throw some chemicals at it, you know. They throw it at their crops, you know, which goes down in the water table, and they end up drinking, and they, you know, inject their animals with hormones, which you end up eating, and all this stuff. You got to pray over everything because men are greedy, and they're going to do whatever they have to do to make the biggest, fattest animals out there so they can sell them to you, and they don't care, you know. So, but in this dream also, I had received a gift to move people out of harm's way. If they stood beside me, we could transport to another place. In my dream, that's what happened. I was transporting people who stood beside me to another place. Whether that other place represented the kingdom of heaven, because obviously we are not to live in the world, to be in the world but not of the world, and we're to live in the kingdom of heaven. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, right? And I made a mention of this while this was happening. I mentioned, yes, and we don't even have wings, you know. We were moving about without wings, without the natural way that man moves about with airplanes or wings like a bird or whatever, anything that had to do with using the physical wind of this world to support you that had nothing to do with this. So this is evidently a supernatural gift from God. And once the Lord translated me many, many years ago, and he told me not long after that that, was going to be a common thing in the end times. And I even asked for that gift, you know, in the future, that so that the Lord would permit me to go and visit the saints in many places, even when we were forbidden to move around by the government or hunted by the government or whatever, you know.